Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You may or you may not agree with things that are said, but if you keep that open mind, you will see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. And that's so important in this world where so many souls are unaware that they have separated from each other, that we are all in essence one, one with God, one with each other, and that we have a duty to be kind and compassionate and loving towards all of those that we encounter, even those that we find it difficult to love. It's not to say that we have to stay in relationships with them, but we can bless them and send them on their way with love. So with that said, I would like to give a little introduction to my guest, Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre, who is a regular on my show. She is an author, a past life connector, and a fear buster. She helps those suffering from irrational fears to mend the past so they can overcome their fears and live happy, healthy, successful lives. She has three books written. The first one is Fast Road to Happiness, Journey into Now. The second one is Life is Forever, Get Used to It. And finally, she's written The Forever Principles, Listening to an Angel Voice in My Head. These books will assist you on the spiritual path and provide roadmaps to enjoy your life forever. Now, if you want to schedule an extensive past life exploration or learn more about her books, go to her website, and I'm going to spell her first name for you. Mary Lou is M-A-R-I-L-O-U, McIntyre, all one word, and McIntyre is McIntyre.com. And if for some reason you didn't have your pen and pencil handy, all you have to do is listen to the beginning of the podcast, and you will get that website information. And so I just want to say one more thing before I introduce Dr. McIntyre, and that is for those of you who have not called in before, Dr. McIntyre needs to know what fears you have in this life or what particular challenges that you have so that she can go to the Akashic Records and pick out the book of life and the chapter in it that best speaks to whatever issues you're experiencing now. So try to be as specific as you can. That will help her go to the right chapter in your book of life. And so let me introduce Dr. McIntyre. Dr. McIntyre, how are you?
Well, I'm just fine, David, and I'm so thrilled to be on your show again. It's always the highlight of the month for me.
Ah, well, that's sweet. Well, I'm always delighted to have you on the show. And we have a number of callers on the line, and we may indeed get more, as the case may be. Actually, I'm not going to worry about time. We're going to do first come, first serve, and so I don't want to be interjecting and saying that there's only 1 minute left. I'm going to let the spirit flow within you to provide whatever information you need to provide to the callers, if that's okay with you.
Sure, that's fine. It's your show, and I'm here to serve.
Wonderful. Well, we have Kimberly, first of all, on the line. Let me bring her on live.
Okay.
Kimberly, hold on, honey. There's a technical problem. You're going to... Okay, here we go. Let's try it again. Okay, Kimberly, you're live. Say hello to Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Dr. McIntyre. How are you?
I'm just fine, Kimberly. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great.
Can you speak up so I can hear you clearly? Because,
yes,
you know, it's the vibration in our voices, you know, the sound of our voice, that the guides are able to connect so I can get to your Akashic record. So I have to hear you nice and loud and clear.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Pretty good, yes.
Okay.
You want to tell me what I can do for you?
Yes. My
good.
My question is regarding the past life. I know I have some manifestations of uterine fibroid, and I was told that it was anger from a past life. And I'm looking at some procedures that won't be invasive, and I just need a little help with that.
Well, a little help with what? I can't give medical advice, you know.
No, no, I don't want you to give me. Okay, no, I'm about the anger. I don't want you to give me medical advice, ma'am.
Oh, okay. All right. So you want to know why you have this anger in your life?
That's right.
In your behavior?
Yes.
I see. Yes, because I know. Anger can certainly throw the whole system off, get you off track, and then is when we start having health problems because, you know, it's like if you don't take proper care of a car, eventually it breaks down. Well, we're
right.
Kind of like the same way, you know.
Right.
And so I have... my guide is here. I'm in the Akashic Records Hall. You've had many lifetimes. And this physical problem that you're going through now is going to hopefully, if you stay on track and stay spiritually aware and follow the golden rule and all that good stuff, it's going to explode a huge karma for you. So they want me to tell you that it was during the French Revolution, and you were working at the time for one of the wealthy royals in the area. And, of course, you know, there was a terrible poverty taking place. You know, the street people, they didn't have food or shelter. And you were fortunate enough to be employed by a very wealthy family. They're not giving my name. They want you, or your name, they want you to draw that name as you go into meditation to focus more on this particular lifetime, which you can do because it's your lifetime, you know. So what I can do is open the door for you and then you can go through and pull out all the information you need. But as the people in the streets became more upset, they became more violent and more destructive of these, lovely homes and the wealthy people, and they just didn't seem to care that they weren't getting any physical change, really. They weren't, being fed or anything. And so they just became more and more violent. and you from your position in this home, you know, a lovely mansion is what it was, you were able to, well, I guess smuggle food would be the appropriate way to explain it. And so you kind of had almost like a parade quietly going by your pantry door. And when you would see somebody out there, you would drop what you were doing and go and, you know, give them a cupcake or an apple or a glass of, you know, water or juice or something like that. And you were feeling very good. You were, you know, helping a lot of people sustain their life. And then the mistress of the house caught you doing this, doling out their, you know, food that belonged to the family. And the mistress got really upset. Her name, they're telling me, was Sarah. So that's a key for you to work on. But she absolutely forbid you to feed any more of these tramps, as she called them. And she was really quite, you know, violent almost. She almost hit you. You were afraid she was going to hit you. She was just so upset when she caught you. And you didn't get fired, luckily, or you would have been out in the street with them, you know. From that point on, she just really kept, I'm getting the expression, evil eye. She didn't trust you with anything, but you were very good at your cleaning, and oh, you were a very good cook, and you cooked all the wonderful meals that they ate. And so they didn't want to fire you. She didn't want to fire you because then, you know, she wouldn't have these wonderful meals and be able to have those dinner parties and stuff like that. But I'll tell you, as each day went by, this rage built up in you because it seemed like since she cut you off from helping those people, she started buying more and more food and fancier food, and it was almost like she was saying to you, you felt like she was saying to you, see, we can afford really good food and your friends can't. Can mm-hmm. you hear that voice?
Yep.
Yeah. And so the rage just built up in you. And what happened? It was when things were really reaching the peak, and they were the reactionaries or the revolutionaries were starting to behead the wealthy leaders and really, you know, try to destroy the power structure that existed at the time. And there was an occasion where Sarah started screaming at you again, not about, you know, any political or social thing, but something that you had done that really upset her. And by then, your rage had built up so much. You picked up a solid gold candlestick and beat her to death. Now, that's okay. A terrible thing to have to tell you, but that's what happened.
Okay.
And, yeah, and so what you have to do now, darling, is forgive yourself for what you did at that time and realize that that's not going, well, hopefully nothing like that will happen in this present lifetime, you know, what we're going through now. And, you know, send Sarah light and love and ask for forgiveness and know that, you know, you are no longer attached to that violent act, regardless of, you know, how it was perpetuated. It was the wrong thing to do. Killing is always the wrong thing to do.
Right.
So, and that's right. And that's why, because you haven't been able to forgive yourself, you didn't realize that, you know, that was what the problem was, and now you know. So you can forgive yourself and look in the mirror and love yourself and, you know, continue to live according to the golden rule and acknowledge that you're here to, you know, to help and to unite people and, you know, become one with your family. Does that help you? That will get you started in your healing and perpetuate the healing. Every day, attack that cancer with light. I did it twice in my, and I am still alive, and I had cancer twice. But that's what I did. I just beat the heck out of it with the white fire and called my spirit guides, and, you know, I just commanded them, go, you know, you have to go somewhere else. So let me know how things go with you. You can go to my website, like David gave you the address, and let me know how things are. I'd really appreciate it. And if you need a longer, you know, insight into this, you can set an appointment with me, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Dr. McIntyre.
Thank you,
welcome.
Kimberly. God bless you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, David.
Okay, we're going to go to Serena. Serena, you're live on the air with David Clark and Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre.
Hi there, David. Hi, Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Serena.
Hi. I guess I wasn't really prepared to have that question. What do we fear? So I've got several, but I guess the one that comes to mind most is fear of not having enough money, perhaps. Seeming to be in survival mode a lot.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you want to know what's blocking opulence in your life, huh?
Yeah, sure, or abundance.
Well, yeah, the same thing. Okay. Well, I see you, you're a Roman, like a palace guard. Back in the old days of Rome, all of the wealth in the area was protected by, like armies. They had, you know, like 25 big, strong men parading around the property and, you know, to protect it and make sure that there was no theft or accidents or anything. And you were the chief, you were the captain of that protection patrol is what they're calling it. And your name was Archibald. And you had you were on very good terms with the property owner, and he flooded you with gifts, and, you know, there were personal favors that you did for him. Like on the side, you know, so he gave you lots of money, and you were even able to acquire your own dwelling, which was pretty amazing at that time. So you can imagine the wealth that you had. Well, hopefully you can, because you have to get into that part of your consciousness. But what happened was you misused that wealth. you didn't use it to, to help people or to, you know, demonstrate service or healing, or you were a carouser, you were a womanizer. Well, you were a man, you know that, hopefully. And so what happened, you just got so, well, the word that comes is cocky. I mean, you were so prideful and so locked in your own self-importance that the men that you were supposed to be directing and you know, leading, doing their jobs and keeping things secure, really started disliking you because of the way you treated them. And built up, and but it didn't faze you. You were still as mean and nasty to them. You know, as time went on, you didn't mellow out or try to help them or anything. And so they eventually turned on you and they beat you to death. I just hate giving past life readings like this, but this is, you know, what we carry in our subconscious that causes problems in this lifetime. And so to help you get rid of that blockage, because you have the right, you know, to a flow of everything that you need to have a fulfilling, happy lifetime. You know, look to nature. Nature, the plants and the trees, they all, the plant kingdom is always provided with what they need to survive and grow into fruition and, you know, beautiful blooms or fruit or whatever. And so is your life, because we're all working on the same, you know, natural laws that govern life and perfect life. So realize that you were in error, that your behavior and your misappropriation of the gifts and wealth that you receive is not going to happen in this lifetime. You're not going to behave like that. And, you know, love your family and the people around you and that kind of thing. And just know that you're basically a good person and you have the right to financial opulence or abundance. And visualize what it is, you know, the things that you want in your life. If it's a better job, if it's a promotion, if it's, you know, whatever it is, visualize it coming into your life, and you can create that by focusing on it and bring it into your life. And keep meditating and affirming your own, you know, good, loving nature, okay?
Oh, that's great. That's very fascinating.
Thank you, Serena.
All right, you have a nice night, dear.
You too.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, our next caller is Lisa, and I'm trying to bring her live.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm here. Hi, David.
Okay,
hi, Dr. McIntyre. Hi. So excited.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you? You have a lot of energy.
Who are you speaking to?
I like your photograph.
Oh, thank you. Are you on my webpage?
I'm on the it's the player for the show. It has a nice picture.
Oh,
yeah, with a happy smile.
Yes,
yeah,
it is
right.
A happy smile. Yes, I put your photo up as part of the promotion, Dr. McIntyre. So everybody that is tuned in tonight will have had a chance to look upon your countenance.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Well,
just
as good as Skyping.
I would love it if you would help me with something to take a look at past life connection with feeling intimidated by people and betrayed a lot. You know, trust issues, fear, and sometimes depression.
Well, wait a minute.
So that's a lot,
fear
right?
of what? I'm
I
sorry.
Don't. Fear. Well, fear of death is one thing. Fear of getting older.
Well, let's focus now on just one thing, if we could, Lisa.
Okay, that would
for this short time, and so whichever is your.
Okay, I would the feelings of feeling intimidated. That I would love for you to focus on.
Why do you feel intimidated? Because there's nothing that happens to you that indicates you are intimidated? Is that the situation in your life?
You know, certain situations or certain relationships are particularly intimidating. I'm lacking a feeling of self-esteem about myself. Confidence. So I find, you know, the interactions where I'm maybe being too careful with people, you know, so.
Well, what I'm picking up is that what your problem is lack of self-confidence.
Right.
And but you're reaching out and blaming others for that lack,
mm-hmm.
rather than going within and realizing that, you know, that you're a divine angel walking the planet trying to accomplish certain things and realize happiness and fulfillment and helping others. And I see you, excuse me, as a, what do you call it, on construction, who's the head guy, what is he called, foreman, the construction of one of the big pyramids in
Egypt.
Oh,
wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah, and you were not married. You were very unhappy because you hadn't, you know, you were a man, and you just hadn't been able to establish, you know, a good permanent love relationship, and it aggravated you. You know, you weren't
mm-hmm.
disappointed. You were just aggravated. Doggone it. Why aren't women attracted to me? You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of affected the way you looked at life. You had like a bitter edge to your personality because you were so disappointed. But
mm-hmm.
you didn't want to blame yourself that there was something wrong with you that prevented women from being attracted to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it was everybody else's fault, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And you were a real taskmaster. You made them, you know, they weren't really slaves. They were paid, and some of them were paid very well, depending on their ability or, you know, the specific aspect of the construction that they were involved in, and
mm-hmm.
How well they worked with the huge blocks that were teleported and then had to be placed properly, that kind of thing. And so you, I want you to, you know, go into that a little bit more, go into your own past life experience as it was in Egypt, because you did live to a ripe old age. You never did find a loving relationship, but you did gain wealth that you never shared with anybody. And so the longer you live, the more isolated you became, you know, from the social structure and friendship or service to others other than what was required of your job. And so when you passed, you were... you were just disappointed, and you thought, well, this was a crappy lifetime, and I'm not ever going to come back and put up with this again. Can you hear yourself? And then, you know, you moved out of your body, and so that's what was embedded in your subconscious, and, you know, every thought that we have, as a rule, is something that has taken place previously, and that's why that thought is even there for you. But I don't want to get into all that technical stuff. But that is what they're suggesting that you do is to go within and fill yourself with the white fire and the golden ray of wisdom, and find things to be happy about. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Good. Find things to create a very happy marriage, you know, a link with your partner, and ways of being able to help others and be of service, and love yourself so that others can love you, okay?
And your voice was breaking up before, so I'm just going to ask if you could, just to repeat, you said go within, and did you say a white fire? Would you just repeat that part again?
Yes, I did. Yes. White fire and golden ray. That's wisdom. The golden ray is wisdom, and it also has an aspect of protection against negative thought forms and actions and that kind of thing.
Okay.
But the important thing is to love yourself and, you know, be positive about everything. Don't be negative about, you know, family situations. If there's a problem, figure a positive way to resolve it, and then, you know, visualize it done and just affirm that it is. Okay?
Right. Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. McIntyre. Thank you, David.
Oh, you're welcome, Lisa. God bless you.
Lisa.
Okay.
You take good care, my dear.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We're going to move on in just a minute. Lisa, I'm going to... there we go. Okay. Next caller is David. David, you're live on the air.
Hi, Dr. McIntyre. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, David. How are you doing?
I'm a little stressed out, but nothing I can deal with. Overall, I'm doing pretty well. My question for you, sweetie, is basically just what you hear from Spirit. And I'm trying to see if it's going to reflect some of the things that I've seen in my crystal work. So that's pretty much it.
That's what? I'm sorry, I don't understand. You know, I'm focusing on past life reading to release, you know, phobias or depressions or, you know, irrational behavior in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Not to compare psychic messages or anything.
No, I understand that. I was just curious if it was going to reflect some of the things that I've seen. I mean, I can change the question.
Yeah,
well,
it would be good.
It
would be good if you can be specific, David, about a particular challenge or fear, irrational fear that you have.
Sure. Okay, I have a question about a previous relationship, which I just keep on feeling that it definitely is karmic and past life stuff.
Is this from a past life?
Well, it was a relationship that I had about 4 years ago, but it lasted a very long time, and I still have problems with it. You know, I mean, I'm single now, but it still affects me sometimes in my dreams and things like that. And that's kind of been really bugging me a lot. I just know that there has to be something more to what had gone on. And a couple of dreams I had to me kind of confirmed it, you know, and they were just kind of weird.
And so you want to know why you're having a problem releasing this person from your life? Is that it?
That's exactly my question. I couldn't have stated it better. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well,
that was perfect. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, we all have that potential, Dr. McIntyre.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. All righty. David, what's your girlfriend or your ex female? What's her first name?
Anne Marie.
Okay. Do you know her whereabouts now?
Yes.
You do.
She's in Michigan.
She's in
Michigan now.
Well, so you've kept in touch with her, in other words.
No, I have not. And that's it ended badly. It was just horrendous the way it ended. It didn't end well.
Oh.
And yeah, it was just crazy. And no, I'm not no longer in touch with her, but I'm kind of curious why it's still bothering me so much. I mean, it's just been years.
Yes,
it's been going on for years.
Yeah. Yes, it's a shame that you have been unable to release it and move on, mm-hmm. and find a love relationship with somebody else, because
mm-hmm.
I'm sure there is somebody there for you, or here for you, I should say. So let me, where am I going? My goodness, you have been with this person for very many lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you did plan during this incarnation to meet, you know, to get back together for the purpose of resolving karma that exists between you. And
mm-hmm.
You both have a lot of lifetimes. You're, you know, really trying to prepare yourself for immortality, for mastering, you know, for achieving the ultimate perfection that is your basic seed. So that's basically the problem. Somehow you've gotten off the path and were unable to resolve the karma that existed between you, which I will go into if you want me to. But as happened in many lifetimes. But when there's another person involved, David, you can't control how they are going to behave. The only mm-hmm. thing you can control is how you behave. So please hold that uppermost in your heart. And,
mm-hmm.
I see, it's like what I would assume, like a French cabaret back in, I don't know, maybe the 1700s. I mean, you know, life was pretty primitive. But
mm-hmm.
She was, her name then was Evelyn. And she, I don't often get names, and I don't know why I do, but maybe it's to help
mm-hmm.
stimulate something, you know, in your memory.
Yeah.
But
yes.
Anyhow, she was the belle of the ball. She really was. And she was really attracted to you, and you, you know, started
mm-hmm.
a relationship. You were a young fellow, and she was a gorgeous dancer. And but as time went on, she didn't focus just she focused on a lot of other people. And it infuriated you, of course. And you ended up maiming her, David, so that she could no longer dance. You cut her legs. So a lot of the tendons got cut. So she couldn't dance. She could barely walk.
And I had tried to do that tour in this lifetime, tried to emotionally. It was very abusive in a way, in a crippling way. So I understand that. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, so now you understand why you had that feeling, because you carried it forward in the subconscious level. Because even when you passed in that lifetime, you hated her. And you just wished you lived longer so you could have hurt her more. And, you know, and that's very, very heavy and very debilitating as far as, you know, soul expansion and awareness is concerned. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is you have to take yourself by the hand and talk to yourself and just release her. You didn't do anything in this lifetime to physically hurt her, but
no.
So you just have to release her. Don't allow her to be in your consciousness or in your dreams even. Just see her washing away or floating off into the air or something like that, and focus yourself on finding somebody else. But forgive yourself, David, because you were righteous in your anger, but it's still, you know, there's still the karmic repercussions, or what you put out is what you get back. You know, so, you know, peace and tranquility for yourself and for anybody you come in contact with. Do you follow the benefit of that in your life, David?
Yeah, it all completely makes sense. Everything you said, especially now, I can't deal with arguing, you know. I mean, I can't even be around people that argue. I can't do it. So, yeah, everything that you said makes sense to me. Yeah.
Well, good. That's wonderful. Okay, so just move on. Don't get caught in, you know, ancient karmic patterns. Just bless her, wish her well, and then wish yourself well. And move on into higher levels. Okay, God bless you, David.
Thank you. God bless you.
Take care, David. Have a good night now.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to move on to Patricia. Patricia, you're live on the air. Okay. We are going to move on to area. Oh, dear. Dr. McIntyre?
Oh, what's that? Yes, I'm here.
Okay, sorry about that. We disconnected for a minute. We're going to move on to area code 541. I don't have the name, but we'll find out in just a moment.
Okay,
area code 541. What is your name, please?
Hi, my name is Anna.
Anna, how are you?
Okay, this is fascinating. I'm glad I checked on Blog Talk to see what was going on.
Oh, I'm glad you did, too. Well, say hello to Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Dr. McIntyre. Thank you so much for making yourself available to us. It's a blessing for us.
Oh, well, thank you, Anna. My pleasure.
Mm-hmm. So,
what can I do for you?
Yeah, so I'm filing through the many possibilities of things to look at, but the first thing that I thought of when I heard you're on the air was finances, why do I sabotage myself and have people rip me off and loan money to people who never pay me back? And I'm just afraid to get involved with finances with anybody. Or on the other end, you know, insurance company. I'm dealing with an insurance company right now for damages to my home, and they don't want to pay for things. And I'm going, why am I getting basically screwed on every direction?
Well, that's insurance companies for you. It's never easy when you're trying to settle with an insurance company. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just reality, Anna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, I got really screwed by a car auto insurance company several years ago when somebody rear-ended me, and yet they didn't pay for all of my my medical bills. They only paid for what my company would pay, and then I went into collections and all kinds of things. I'm still paying off medicals. And
okay, I don't want to hear any of that. We're trying to. I think if you keep making the same mistake as you said, that's what you said. You keep making the same mistake. Loaning money to people and never getting it back brings to mind something about discernment, learning where you end and where somebody else begin, and that other people do not necessarily behave on the same level or in the same way that you do. That we're mm-hmm. all different individuals trying to live together and work together. You understand what I'm saying so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is open the door for you to a past life that it's like, oh, this is... I've never seen it. You know, they communicate with me sometimes through picture rather than going through a long explanation. And I see a mixing bowl with a wooden spoon and a hand stirring what's in that bowl. And I get the impression that this lifetime that we're going to, well, it's kind of left a residue of confusion, you know, just of the things just going around in circles and never really getting done. Is that familiar to you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. I work very hard and for not much resolve.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Now let me, so I will open the door to the lifetime or to the situation that is affecting the results of, you know, your activity in this lifetime,
mm-hmm.
In the hopes that you will continue or start, if you don't already, meditate and try to move into that past life, or at least move into forgiving yourself if that's what's necessary,
mm-hmm.
Which
okay.
It usually is, because we, you know, we're usually very hard on ourselves, and there's absolutely no reason for that. So I see in English, it's an office building. It's sometime in the early 1800s, it's before, you know, World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be the last lifetime or the previous lifetime to this one. I think that's what I'm getting impressed on, and this is why that stirring, that confusion, is so strong in you. And you were an investment broker, and you worked prominent banking company, and you were very close, you know, to the banking families and to wealth and to buying and selling stock and getting other people to buy and sell stock to make you wealthy and themselves also. And, what happened was with one of these banking families, you fell in love with not your boss, but one of the, what do you call it? They're on the board of directors. And one of the wives of a board of director member. And you kept it secret for, well, about a year and a half. And but finally, it's just like I just see an explosion. Something happened that brought it to the surface, and it's like in the middle of the table and everybody's looking at, you know, figuratively speaking. In other words, you got found out.
Mm-hmm.
And while that affected your job, it affected your health, it certainly affected your finances, because all of the board of directors, they just pounced on you, and they just drove you from the office, literally, and told you to never come back. And the money, the investment that you had that was tied in with that particular stock or bank, you lost, because they would never let you back on the premises. And you just kind of faded away. You had a broken heart, and, you know, your life was broken. And you never really even tried to, you know, heal the situation or end it or, you know, get over it, that kind of thing. You just wasted away. You stopped eating. You drank quite a bit. Sometimes you didn't do anything. You just laid in bed. And at the time of your passing, you thought life was just hopeless. And that you're certainly never coming back to this planet, because it's just too confusing and too harmful, and just didn't like it. And that's what's imprinted. And that's why you came back as a female this time, so that you would be able to see the other half of that particular lifetime. And heal the situation by looking at it through the eyes of a woman. Can you do that? That's very unusual suggestion, but that's what I'm getting.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Never would have thought of me as an investor in another lifetime. It's so funny, because...
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well,
I think
you tried to forget that. I think you tried to forget all of that, see?
Mm-hmm.
And but it's still in your subconscious, because it had such a profound effect upon you when it blew up.
Mm-hmm.
See? Mm-hmm. So you just have to forgive yourself for, can you say reckless behavior? Or immoral behavior, going behind your, you know, fellow worker's back and stealing his what, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, it's not going to happen again. You're not a banker in this lifetime. You're not even a man in this lifetime. So it's not going to happen again. Forgive yourself and get over it. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And she means that in the most loving way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's, you know,
I love it.
Line,
she,
we can get over
anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. I've played around with investing the last few years, and I was doing okay until I started going for professional help, and then they messed it all up and lost money for me, and then I lost my trust.
Oh, see, yeah. See.
Maybe
okay.
The other.
God bless you, hon. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Take care, Anna. Thank you so much for calling.
Oh, okay. I'm on an interview right now. Can you call back in about an hour?
Okay, callers, we're just holding for Dr. McIntyre. And just for the remaining callers, you probably have gotten the idea that what Dr. McIntyre needs from you is some irrational fear behavior that you're experiencing in this lifetime or some particular challenge that you have, something that you don't understand. She needs for you to be as specific as possible in order for her to take you to the lifetime where that karma was created. So, Dr. McIntyre, are you back with us?
Yes, I am. And I wonder, can I take kind of a break and maybe share something with the people that are listening, whether they're, you know, planning on calling in or not? I think we all need encouragement and ideas on how to improve the quality of our life.
That would be great. We have time for that, and we have two more callers on the line. Just to let you know that I'm aware you're there, I have area code 917, and I have the Oracle Queen. Interesting. So we will get to you. Dr. McIntyre has something she'd like to share right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I can tell you my basic philosophy, and that's to follow the golden rule. Be happy, healthy, and wealthy. And that's achieved by right thought and right action, because that polishes the soul and ultimately promotes longevity and immortality. Not everybody even believes in immortality. And that's what I'm here to tell you. It does exist. We do live forever. Not necessarily in the physical body we have right now, but our soul keeps coming back if we haven't learned that we are divine star people created by divine intelligence or God or, you know, whatever the supreme being of which we are a part. And just know that you're so special. But people say, no, I'm not very nice, or I don't like myself, or, you know, and that's wrong. You've got to be positive. So
absolutely.
To use my quest, pardon? Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you for that, yeah. And on my quest to help others, I've written the books to inspire and challenge and expand and create life changes. It's like having a roadmap to wake up the inner soul and achieve one's destiny. And I'm illuminated and gratified when others' growth is made easier because of my help. And I keep striving to bring heaven to earth. I promise, you know, that's my mission, that's my contract. And I know I'm guided and protected on my journey, as we all are. And life just is so beautiful, and it should be for each person. And if it isn't, just say it is. You know, put one
right. You need to shift
together.
Your focus.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And if everybody can do it, no matter what the obstacles are, all you have to do
is follow what feels good to you that is not harming yourself or others. In other words, addiction is not the answer. But if something makes you feel inherently good, like a good deed or a kind act to somebody else, things like that, service is so important, and a lot of people don't get it. We are in this life not for ourselves necessarily, although we're entitled to lead abundant lives, but we are in this life to be of service to others because we are all connected.
That's right.
Well, is there anything else you wanted to say before we move on?
Let me just quickly give them a summary of the books that I have written. I don't think I'm going to write anymore. I think this is it. But the first book, and you mentioned the books, and I appreciate that, and I'm just going to give a little summary, Fast Road to Happiness. This is so you can learn how to break through the time-space barriers to heal your life. If you read this book, by the time you get through, if you practice what I've explained, you know, the various steps of breaking through these barriers and getting into your own, divine consciousness and experiences, then, it covers the spiritual healing and conscious past life. Regressions are documented, so you'll know that they're, you know, successful healing for individuals. And that's to help yourself. The life is forever. Get used to it. Provides proof of survival after death. I traveled the world and tested mediums and various types of phenomena and heard departed loved ones coming back through a medium, through a genuine medium, to comfort the mourner, you know, like the wife or the husband that was left. The mate comes back and says, I'm here, I'm happy, you know, carry on, don't fret after me, this kind of thing. Year after year, I heard this, and I finally thought, well, this has got to be true because it keeps happening, and it isn't just my imagination. And so that's what that book is about. And then the last one just published this last year was The Forever Principles, Listening to an Angel Voice in My Head. You can use this book to contact your inner spiritual essence to improve the quality of life. This angel came to me and telepathically said she had heard the call for help from people on this planet, and she came here to help, and she wanted to work through me, and so that's how we set it up. She telepathically communicated her wisdom and some of her experience over the eons of her existence. And so it's very stimulating to the imagination and hopefully helpful to, you know, positive thinking and acting. So
beautiful.
There you are.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you a question because you talk about positive action and thinking, which I believe is so important. We need to keep our level of vibration as positive as possible, and then all things are possible. And you talked
right.
about how that can affect longevity. You talked about immortality of the soul. And I almost thought you were talking about the possibility of being immortal in the body.
Well, yes, that is possible. If that's what one decides they want to do.
Okay, well, that's what I thought.
Yeah, exactly. The shell that you have called the body right now, revitalizes or renews itself every 7 years. So why wouldn't it just keep going if you took care of it, if you fed it properly, if you thought properly, if you acted properly? What would cause a problem? Nothing would cause a problem. Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, when you hear people say, oh, my hip hurts, I must be getting old. Well, you are. If that's what you're putting out, that's what you're getting back, that old vibration. Yeah, that's right.
So well, that's interesting.
Just ignore the hip and say, go away, I'm not accepting you in my life or in my body. And you have to work with it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I could share an anecdote, but I don't think we have time. I just wanted to say this, that I had a recent recurrence of a physical problem that used to be very debilitating, and I found as I'm going along that at points I feel it, and at other points I don't feel it. So when I think I'm feeling it, I say, go away, and I just shift my focus, because when I concentrate on the pain, it only gets worse. So
exactly.
It is possible to shift your focus and let it go. And
exactly.
Like everything in life is a choice, and we have to take responsibility for our lives as they unfold and stay present to the moment and remember that whatever haunted us in the past is not happening now unless we allow it.
Exactly. Well said. Why don't you write a book, David?
I'm working on one, actually, called Awaken to Your Spirit. But that's down the line.
Oh, wonderful.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I have been channeling that book, and it'll come out when it's meant to, but I've got some other projects I'm working on first, so I've kind of taken a little bit of a vacation from that book, but it's halfway done.
Uh-huh. Very good.
All right. Well, let's take the last two callers who have been very patiently waiting, if that's okay with you. We're going to move on to area code 917. What is your name, please?
Hello, David. Hello, Dr. McIntyre. This is Ellen.
Hi, Ellen. Where are you calling? It's
I'm
Ellen,
sorry?
Right?
Yes.
Ellen, is it? Okay.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I have a fear of being a failure. It's not quite the same as somebody else earlier talked about, which is a fear of being, I guess, poor, but it is a feeling of not being able to take care of myself, not having really done anything with my life.
And is that a condition that exists in this life, that you're unable to take care of yourself?
No, it's not. We're talking about irrational fears, and we're talking about irrational fears that also that motivated me to do some things. But it's there. It's still a fear.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay, and when that comes into mind, Ellen, can't you say, I am healthy and whole. I love God. I love humanity. I am perfect. And wouldn't that fear go away, don't you think? If you keep feeding yourself positive thoughts.
Yes, I have learned to cope with it to an extent, but it has definitely been a fear throughout a good part of my life.
Uh-huh. Okay, and it still affects your behavior and your ability to make right decisions and that type of thing, are you saying?
Less so. I think I am sometimes just fearful of being judged a failure. Even if it's not true, I can know in my heart that it's not true. I still fear being judged that way.
We got to break open the chairs. I'm going to remove myself. Oh, who's talking in the background there, Ellen?
Nobody. It sounds like somebody has a television on in the background. It's not here. I don't have
a television on. That's interesting. It's not here. I don't know where it is.
It's very distracting. It's not my television.
Yes.
Well,
okay.
I don't know what it is, but I guess we're going to have to deal with it the best we can.
Yeah. Okay, Ellen, let me go into the Akashic Records And, I see you in Sweden. Oh, you're a lovely blonde lady, and you're happily married, and you have at least 6 children, all below the age of 10. And you're a very good mother and a very loving wife. But you just have so much work to do, taking care of all these kids and a house. You have a lovely house. And you have a husband that works really hard. And he's gone a lot of the time because he's working so hard. And so that leaves, you know, more stress and more work for you to take care of these children in what you consider a proper way, you know, teaching them manners, keeping them clean, keeping them from fighting each other. Really became very difficult for you because at the end of the day, when you were exhausted and fell into bed, lots of time your husband wasn't there to help you, and you just felt so alone. Even though you knew, you know, your husband loved you and you loved him, but his presence wasn't there. You needed reinforcement. You needed encouragement, and you weren't getting it. And so, you know, the psychology of human nature is strange. And you developed an illness that made it very difficult for you. It's kind of like you just can't function. You can't really pick things up properly. You can't even really walk properly without having to hold on to walls. And the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong. But you became unable to perform what you thought, you know, perform your motherly and wifely duties. And your husband, of course, he continued to work. Now he had additional expenses because there was, you know, the medical expenses. And sometimes you had to be hospitalized because your nourishment, you know, you weren't eating right. And it's just like you kind of gave up on life. I don't know how else to explain it. So eventually, you know, you just wasted away. You got a lot of attention, which you weren't getting when you were just, you know, the mother and the wife, you know, the housemaid kind of thing. So you were getting attention, and I suspect that that's why you developed this illness. So you would get attention without saying, without having to say, I need attention, I need love, I need a hug, you know? And so anyhow, you carried it to the ultimate end, and you passed away, leaving the children were still quite young. As a matter of fact, you were quite young, considering the number of years that you could have lived. When you, like, just moved out of your body, I can see you saying, oh, that was so rough. I was so overworked. I was so tired. You know, and you carried that pain with you, the pain that you felt, you know, by being, and you were over with 6 kids under the age of 10, you know, is over. But that's just, that's a fact of life. And allowed that to happen. You allowed, you know, getting pregnant over and over because that's what your husband wanted. And the few times that he was home at night, you know, that was how babies come. So what you have to do, what is being suggested, Ellen, is you have to know that you are very strong and that you can put one foot in front of the other, and if you fall down, you're going to get up and you're going to put one foot in front of the other. It sounds like somebody's snoring. Can you hear that?
That is a cat purring.
I'm going to suggest after this reading, Dr. McIntyre, that you...
cat purring. What?
Oh, is it? Okay. All right.
Yes. No. And that was definitely over here, and I apologize.
That's all right. Okay.
I thought if somebody's asleep, then I'm not doing a very good job.
So thanks to the left, Ellen. What's your cat's name?
Well, the one who was purring was Cindy.
Cindy. Okay. Well, pardon the interruption. We were both curious. Dr. McIntyre, do you still have the thread?
The thread, yeah, really. Well, have you followed me so far, Ella? Do you get the picture of how you felt and what you did to yourself?
I was overwhelmed.
And how
I made
you
my
carried
sense.
It into this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it sounds like I was overwhelmed. I got sick and I shut down. It sounds like I just shut down.
That's right. That's right. You needed more love and help than you were getting. And instead of putting one foot in front of the other and say, I'm going to make it through, I'm going to get somebody to help me. In other words, you know, solving the problem. You just figured, oh, I'll just get sick, and then everybody will have to pay attention to me. See? And that is not a way of succeeding in life. And so that's what you have to learn in this life. But you can achieve whatever you focus on, but if you fall down, you have to get up. And sometimes, you know, it happens more than once where you have to get up. But no... that you can achieve whatever you set out to do, okay?
Yeah, and, you know, I want to say thank you. That's, to be frank, I didn't think what you, the past life you drew up, talked about what I mentioned to you, but it really handled something else going on in my life. So it's actually very insightful. There is a pattern in my life that speaks to.
Well, wonderful then. See,
thank
I'm not
you.
Always in control. We have spirit guides, and they stepped in and gave you what you needed, darling.
Yes, I agree. Thank you so much, Dr. McIntyre, and thank you, David.
You're
thank
welcome,
you,
thank
for
you.
Being such a patient caller tonight, and God bless.
Good night. Thanks.
Good night.
Right.
Okay, we're going on to the Oracle Queen. You are live
Hello.
On the air. What is your name? Hi.
My name is Nazir. How are you?
What is it?
Nazir.
Nazir?
Nazir.
Okay. Yes, yeah, say hello to Dr. McIntyre.
Hello,
and
Dr.
Tell her
McIntyre.
Hi, Nazir.
Actually, I obtain a lot of rare sicknesses. I have a lot of immune disorders. I have a rare blood disorder. And I was just wondering, like, I constantly get sick, basically from birth to now, I've been having a lot of trouble with sickness. Like, I've gotten sick a lot, or they can't really figure out what's wrong with me or why certain things are happening to me. So I just wanted to know if that has anything to do with one of my lives. I also feel like... I'm entitled to help people a lot. Like, even if I put myself in, how could I say it? Even if I'm throwing myself under the bus, I still feel like I have to help other people.
I didn't understand that last thing. What about throwing yourself under the bus?
I feel like I just put other people before I put myself. Like, before my own well-being, I'll put other people.
Oh, I see. It's a martyr thing. Okay. Oh, yes. It's coming very, very clearly. I'm seeing you in a convent in India. In India. I thought it was Italy, but they said, no, it's India. And you've been a nun many, many times.
Oh, wow.
And you have loved the sacrifice. You have loved the pain. You have loved, you know, you call it loving God, and proving it by sacrificing your own well-being. And that's yet the concept or the motivation to reach out to help others in spite of any feeling that you may have. Because if you take on the pain or the problem of others, you mm-hmm. feel that makes you very spiritual. But what it does is, pardon?
I said that's very true.
Yeah, but what it does, oh, now it's broken. What it does is make you very sick. So, if you're going to continue to work with people, you're not in a convent now, are you?
No.
If you're going to continue to work with people, I don't know what kind of work you do or service you perform, but be sure that you surround yourself with perfect protection from anything harmful, anything negative.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing except the highest and best can mm-hmm. enter your presence and being.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you will find that your health should improve enormously. But you've had this, it is a martyr vibration, and many, many nuns, and some of them have even been sainted, but the reason they passed is because they took on other people's problem. You do not have to take on the person's problems. You release it to God, or you tell the problem, if it's a health thing, to go somewhere else, to get out of that person. And mm-hmm. then you inspire or motivate that person, you know, to be positive and, you know, think health, that kind of thing.
Right.
You understand
yes.
the difference?
Yeah.
Good.
That
well, I want you to try it, and please keep in touch and let me know how it's working, because that's really fascinating. And I hope that helps you.
Thank you. That actually makes a lot of sense. I actually do readings. I'm an empath. I'm able to feel a lot. I'm heavily. And
it's no surprise you're an empath. No surprise at all.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Really?
Sorry.
So I feel the physical pains and everything, and I have other gifts along with it. So I'm like, I'm dealing with my own energy, and then I'm dealing with others also. So that actually makes a lot of sense. And recently, like,
and tell yourself that you love God.
Yeah, I do. I do, and I feel like.
Oh, Dr. McIntyre got disconnected.
Really?
Go ahead and express your thoughts. She'll call back.
But I feel like I do take on a lot of people's responsibility and or weight or emotions, and I'm connected to so many people, and I don't realize it. So, like, I start picking up their patterns as well.
Mm.
And I think that... when that happens, or I notice, like, I try to separate how I feel when I'm alone. I isolate myself a lot too, so that the nun part totally makes a complete isolation.
Do you have problems with depression?
Huh?
Do you have problems with depression or challenges with depression?
Yeah. I've been actually...
That's very normal for an empath.
Yeah, I
very
have
normal.
Really... Yeah. And it gets like to the point where I have...
The point where what?
It gets to the point where I'm like, when I start feeling depressed, and again, I have to be like, okay, you have to ground yourself. You have to think what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I have to sit and question myself.
Right.
And
are you able to do that?
Yeah, now. Before
Good.
I let it like over, like I let it completely consume me. And so
let me bring Dr. McIntyre back on the line so she can hear what you're saying.
I'm here.
Dr. I see you there. We lost you for a minute. Nazir was talking.
I know, and I was talking about how she must protect herself and the affirmations. Did you hear the
Good.
Affirmations I said?
No, no, because we lost you totally.
Okay, here's the affirmations for you. I love God. I serve humanity. I have the right to be happy and healthy.
I love
and
God.
And say that every time, I don't know, every step you take or, you know, until it, and that will build you up.
Right.
And then protect yourself in the protection of God against anything negative.
Right. And I feel like...
Did you get the total affirmation this year?
Can you repeat it one more time so I can write it?
I love God.
Mm-hmm.
I serve humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the right to health and happiness.
Thank you so much.
Nazir,
you can write that on pieces of paper and stick them on your walls or
put it on my vision board.
But,
right?
Yeah, but you have to build up your own health, or you're not going to last. That's what they're telling
me. Actually, my health is doing really well right now.
Good. Well, you must be doing some things that are helpful to you. As long as you make sure you take care of yourself first, as an empath especially, you need to take care of yourself first or you'll be of no service to others. You will get sick.
Right. And what I was told is that because I'm so sensitive or like because I have, you know, a high vibration, I am still going to, like, it's still going to be things that try to bring me down that aren't here physically. So I have to, things that, you know, I can't see or, but I can feel, I'm going to have to be like, use that. Basically, someone told me to use the fear that the negative things are.
No, don't use fear. Don't use negative things. No.
There you go.
That's wrong.
You're trying to say use the fear as a booster so that I'm doing something right, and, you know, that's what they were trying to tell me.
What do you think, Dr. McIntyre?
Well, I just said I don't understand why she was told to use fear for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you use fear?
Right.
Well,
you know, I've heard a good acronym for fear, and it's called false evidence appearing real. Take that into meditation and see what you can do with that, because there's nothing healthy about fear.
Yeah, right.
You know, it may
Absolutely.
Be a challenge in your life, but you need to overcome it. And the only way to overcome it is with light and love.
Right. You're absolutely
exactly.
Yeah. So thank you so much. Really
thank you, my
that.
Dear. And we have
God
one more
you.
Caller. Can you take that, Dr. McIntyre?
Sure.
Okay. Good night,
Happy
Nazir.
You. Thank
God
you.
God bless you. Dear. You're
have
welcome.
Night.
Yeah, God bless you.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to move on to area code 512. And you are the last caller of the night. What is your name, please?
Hi there. This is Julia. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Julia.
You're welcome,
you got in
Julia.
Just under the gun.
Yay.
Yeah, we're recording now, so that means nobody else can call in. The rest of the time that Dr. McIntyre has is for you.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you, Dr. McIntyre. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're sure welcome.
What do I ask here?
What you need to do, because you tuned in late, Dr. McIntyre is a fear buster, and she'll connect you to your past life by dealing with whatever fears you might have in this life, and try to be specific about the numero uno, one that's concerning you now, or if there's a real big challenge in your life. If you can't think of a fear, you could frame it as a challenge.
Wow. Okay. Finances and trusting and finances. Those are pretty big ones. Is that enough?
No.
Okay.
What about finances? Do you have more than you need?
Thank you for being honest. Okay, so a challenge. Challenge for me, finances, almost my whole life has been a challenge for me. I think that I'm getting better. I'm allowing, instead of having fear about buying something and not having enough money, I have been lately doing a better job of knowing that the universe will provide for me. So if it's something that I want and something that I need, something that's going to help other people, then I get it. And I'm attaching the thought to that I will be getting more clients, because that's what I'm getting this for, to help them in their healing path. So that's a big one.
Well, it sounds to me like you're on the right track to, for healing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that you have the right to certain things, and, if you want them, you get them. And not be afraid that you're not going to be able to pay for it. Of course, you have to budget your money, but if there's something that you need or want, visualize it. Visualize it coming into your life or into your office. Buckets of money pouring into your kitchen.
Yes.
Everything is energy, and you can create the energy, and then you draw it to yourself. That's how it works. People don't realize that.
I've been doing that with my meditation and daily thought.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. And
that's very good.
I think maybe a pretty significant past life, as far as trust does go. I have a hard time trusting people, anyone in general. I only have a few close friends. So trust is definitely a big one for me.
You have a few friends that you don't trust?
Oh, I only have a few that I trust completely.
Oh, that you do trust. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a very difficult thing because, people behave the way they're going to behave and not necessarily the way you would like them to behave. And so, if we can't get along with someone, then, just move on. But what I'm getting that you might be able to work with is that, again, this was the French Revolution, and you were a prison guard. You were a big guy, big, really muscular, and very, very strong, and you were in charge. Are you there? Are you laughing?
She's laughing.
That
no?
Was
okay.
Interesting. I thought that was you.
No, that's interesting. What? We've had some strange stuff coming through tonight. Sorry to make that judgment.
That's okay.
But go ahead, Dr. McIntyre.
Okay. So you were in charge of this one, a penitentiary that had all kinds of, cells and prisoners. Some of them were political prisoners. Some of them were, because they couldn't pay their bills. Some of them were, actually vicious, violent people. But you were very dedicated to your work, and you wanted to make sure that these prisoners were, confined and could not get out, but were properly fed and, all the good stuff. And you really established a rapport with many of these, and you heard their life stories. And they were so horrendous to you that you could hardly stand it, because you were... While you were very big, you were also very sensitive. And these people would, tell you their stories, and, full of confusion and mistrust and error and mistakes. And you just, got filled, you just got filled up with it. And... When you passed into spirit, you vowed that you would have, if you came back, you would have to be super, super careful, not get caught up with people like that. Hardcore, in other words. See?
Not get caught
and
up
so
with what?
That's why you have that... that feeling that, you should listen to it, but don't let it, fill you with doubts about people. Just be discerning.
Okay.
Did you have a question?
And knowledge.
What's that?
Julia, it sounded like you missed something that Dr. McIntyre said. Did you have a question?
Yeah, she was breaking up, and I think she said something around me not... I took a vow to not ever... Did you say surround myself in that, or put myself in that situation, or be around those kinds of people?
Yes, to not be involved and to... really trust people. Always be on the lookout, because there are, evil, bad people. Well, sure there are, but you just fill yourself with light and confidence, and know that, with your spiritual knowledge and your spiritual guides, reach out to them. And just affirm that as you're reaching out to help others, you will be helped. How's that?
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay. God bless you, Ann.
Thank you.
God bless, Julia.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
Yeah.
Dr. McIntyre, thank you so much for being with us again tonight. It's been a privilege, and... You've opened my eyes on a few counts, too, because you said some things that really resonated for me, and at the moment I can't think of what they are, but thank you very much.
You are sure welcome, David. It's always a pleasure to be on your show, and let's see, the next time... Oh, I want to tell everybody, I just want to share with everybody that... I'm going to Seattle for the month of July to celebrate all different kinds of wonderful happenings with my family that lives there. But come August, I will be back home and I'll be on Dale's show August 7th. That's a Friday
August
7th, night, right?
Yep, at 7:30. So if there's anybody that has something yet that they want to resolve in their current life, tune in then, and you're welcome to call back if you want to. We also love to hear of people's successes on their meditations that they've done. So please get in touch with Dr. McIntyre at MaryLouMcIntyre.com. MaryLouMcIntyre.com, or call us back. We'd be glad to hear about it right on the show.
And if you can't wait for my return, you can always get my books. Go to that webpage that David gave you, and you can read, you know, a summary of the books. There's excerpts. And see if maybe even the excerpt might help you. If not, you can order them. God bless you all.
And they can do that through your website or through Amazon.com.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is correct. Thank you.
You're welcome. So with that said, Godspeed to everybody. We look forward to your return, Dr. McIntyre. And so we are going to come to a close. Let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our being. Spiritual being.
That's correct.
A human experience. Having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
Yeah, hold on. Thank you. God bless you all.
Thank you, Dr. McIntyre.